Hi, it's Dacker. If you're like me, you probably have a wide variety of interests when it comes to your podcast listening. A little psychology here, a little history there, which is why I want to recommend a show perfect for those with eclectic tastes. Freakonomics Radio has more than 10 years and 500 episodes worth of answers to your biggest questions. But don't be fooled, it's not just for economists and business experts. Every week, Stephen Dubner dives into the hidden side of everything. With the help of guests, including CEOs, artists, and Nobel laureates, he breaks down all sorts of things, like how we choose the people we marry and why using swear words might be more important than you think. So don't miss out. Follow Freakonomics Radio right now, wherever you get your podcasts. Support for The Science of Happiness comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/happiness. That's odoo.com/happiness. Odoo, modern management made simple. If you enjoy The Science of Happiness, leave us a rating and a comment with your thoughts. It really helps us get it out there, so others can listen to it too.
My dad worked at the oil refinery, and he would come home all dirty, like soot all over his face, and he'd like still play baseball, or he'd take me fishing like right after work, just throw his work clothes off. And so it was pretty good growing up in Mississippi. Even on school nights, we'd go in the middle of the night and go out and go digging. Anything old that's kind of hidden in the ground that people haven't seen in hundreds of years or have never seen at all. It's like digging for treasure. We found old tent hooks, arrowheads, and pottery. 2005, I joined the Marines, so that's why I came out to California. I saw on the internet where people were digging fossils. I went straight to them, started digging. Yeah, a lot of sea fossils, shark's teeth. That's pretty exciting. It's like finding a big wad of cash or something. I live up at the Ocean View Mine in a little camper at the very top, kind of overlooking the valley. Right before I got here, they hit $1 million pocket of gems. Every time we hit a little bit of clay, we get excited, hoping it's a pocket just like that. Everything we find, we collect, and every 6 months, everything's split equally. I always thought about if I hit the big pocket and had a bunch of money, I'd probably just stay here, just digging.
Dylan Lee has spent a lifetime digging up treasures from the past and joins us today to try an exercise that requires a different type of digging. On every episode of our show, we have a guest try out a research-based practice designed to boost happiness, resilience, kindness, or connection, and then we dive into the science behind why it actually works. Thanks for being with us, Dylan.
Thank you.
Dylan, you're our guinea pig today. You know, of all the different practices that promote meaning and well-being on our website, you chose the small talk practice.
Yeah.
Why'd you choose that one?
I'm really quiet by nature, so I've been trying to kind of practice on that. I always kind of stayed to myself, even when I was younger.
You spent a lot of time just being quiet in your work?
Yeah, we're drilling. There's no talking or anything. Everybody's got their earplugs in. Started this year working one day a week down at the feed dig area with the public. People, they come up and they pay to screen through the dirt we bring out of the mine. And when I first started working down there, I was like terrified because I had to do the presentation and everything myself without any help.
So you're almost like a tour guide, or you're teaching people and young kids how to, what it means to screen through earth and look for gems and stuff?
Yep, doing that. And we also do like a quick tour around the mountain.
Oh, neat.
So I get to talk about the mine a little bit.
Well, maybe the small talk practice is a little bit like digging. We go find things out.
Yeah.
So tell us about this practice. What'd you do?
Just kind of asking each person at each station at the tables down there. Pretty much, you know, like where they're from and what got them up there. And you get a lot of interesting people down there. A lot of them are like the fossil hunters, and a lot of people that come up here, they mainly go for gold, and then they hear about this place.
They're looking for discoveries.
Yeah.
Stake a claim. How did you feel about making small talk before you did it?
Yeah, when I first approach somebody, I feel a little anxious and nervous because I'm not sure how they'll respond. Yeah, when I actually start talking to somebody, that it just goes away. Now I get to learn all kinds of different things about them.
You know, there's this study that this practice is based on where these researchers just ask people like you and me to, you know, you're on a bus and just to start up by asking some questions. And one of the things that's really interesting in the study is that the people who did the small talk learned that people wanted to connect a lot more than they thought, right? That, you know, just by asking questions and discovering things like rocks in your own region, you find out that other people are really interested in social connection and conversation. Did you find that to be true?
Yeah, there's people, like if I go maybe an hour and I don't really say anything, there's people at the dig that are the same way, just quiet. And
yeah.
I'll just start off with like one question and then we'll be talking for 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of other people, I guess, that are pretty quiet too.
Yeah, being a more quiet person and living out, you know, on top of a mountain and having a lot of time to yourself, but then you chose to reach out and to talk to people. So I'm just curious, like before you did this practice and then after, how did it make you feel?
Makes me feel better.
Yeah?
More relaxed. Well, once I've been talking to everybody, I feel like a little bit less nervous around them. Because I'm like anxious to actually start the small talk, but once I do, I just kind of feel relieved.
Yeah, it's interesting how often our anxiety is about stuff in preparation for doing things, but once we get going, it's actually kind of comfortable. Let's listen in on when you tried it out.
That you said you'd never been here before?
Oh, first time, yeah.
What got you into this?
I have a boy here. He's been here lots of times, so it's his birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Mississippi girl recognized it.
Oh, are you from Mississippi? That's for a good one.
What part?
I was in Mississippi for 26 years. So I went to Mississippi State.
That is a Mississippi accent.
My cousins went to Mississippi State.
Really?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
So where did you live?
I lived in Pascagoula along the coast.
Oh, Pascagoula.
Have you ever taken the Natchez Trail?
Yeah. Oh. Actually, I'm from Tupelo to
a nice drive.
Well, you're doing a pretty good job by, you know, giving these tours to people you don't know. You know, one of the really neat things about small talk is, you know, like you said, like you just get rolling and you're asking these questions and learning things about people and it's fun and you're smiling. So when you did this small talk practice, what was the best mini conversation that you had?
There was a older guy here, and he said he remembered coming out here when he was a boy in the 70s. Then I mentioned the guy from the mine across the way, and he said he knew that guy and was friends with his dad, and he'd been in that mine. That was just cool because they knew the owner that when they hit the candelabra, it was like a world famous pocket in the 70s.
Wow.
And knowing the owner, and he was a really cool guy, like not too many people got to meet him.
Huh.
He actually, I mean, he had millions of dollars in gems, and he had millions of dollars, but he actually lived in the tunnel entrance and slept on a cot.
Devoted.
He had never had a house. He always lived in shacks.
Yeah. Do you think if you hit a big strike, that's what you'd do? Just stay close and keep it simple?
Yeah, I would.
So you're learning about the history of the mine.
Yeah.
Did you learn some things about people you didn't expect?
One time there was a family, and then I started tell them about different minerals, and then they told me about all the same rocks they were seeing out on their property. We got like just talking and talking and got invited out there to kind of hunt around for the rocks.
Well, that's one of the best outcomes of small talk, is to have it lead to other kinds of social activities, and so that'll be fun. Did the small talk practice, just doing it this one time, has that kind of stayed with you? Are you practicing parts of that?
Yeah. I've noticed whenever I'm not here and I go to out in town and different places, I'll actually kind of speak to people more.
That's great. And if you had a friend who came to you and said, like, you know, I just want to connect to people more, how would you tell them to use this small talk practice?
Kind of just to start off with little simple questions. That's usually what I do. Where they're from and whatever they're doing, like what got them into it.
You know, it's funny. I was asking my mom when I was a teenager, and, you know, I just didn't know how to interact around people, and I was kind of anxious and introverted as a kid. And it's like, what's the secret? And she's like, just ask people questions, you know, and start there. So it sounds like you're suggesting something similar. Well, Dylan, I want to thank you for doing something that's really, for a lot of people, is courageous, which is to come out of your feelings of being quiet and engage in this small talk practice and see where it takes you. And I hope that you've learned some interesting things from the practice. So thanks.
Thank you.
We'll talk more about the benefits of small talk after this short break.
Hey, grown-ups, have some curious kids in your life? I'm Molly Bloom, the host of Brains On, a science podcast for curious kids and adults. Each week, a different kid co-host joins me to find answers to fascinating questions like, can you dig a hole to the center of the earth? Do plants have feelings? And why do we lie? Plus, we have mystery sounds to guess, songs to dance to, and lots of facts, all checked by experts. You can listen to Brains On wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dylan Lee did the small talk practice, and, you know, a lot of people think that small talk's superficial and has nothing to do with well-being, but one of the best studies of small talk and the surprising benefits of small talk is by Nick Epley and my Berkeley colleague, Juliana Schroeder.
The big idea came out of sort of a, seemed like a bit of a paradox, a puzzle. There are all these different situations in which connecting with other people make us happier, even can make us healthier and have all these like amazing benefits for us. But there is this sort of one circumstance under which connecting with others doesn't seem to be preferred. And that's when you're trying to connect with a stranger, someone that you've never met before. In particular, when you're commuting to work on a bus or a train, and it's not even a very pleasant experience a lot of the times. And so we have the opportunity to connect with all these people around us, and yet oftentimes people don't, right? You see just completely silent cars. And so we're like, why don't people want to do this? You know, one possibility is that they think it'll make them less happy, you know? And so is that correct or not?
It kind of builds on this great tradition of, are we accurate at predicting what produces happiness or not?
Right. So we ran field experiments primarily in the Chicago area, and it was on the commuter trains, buses. First, we collected predictions. So what do people think? And what they think is that talking to someone in these contexts would be a bad experience. They think it'll make them less happy, more sad. They think it'll make them less productive, and even though they're not that productive in the first place, compared to just being in solitude. A big reason why people fail to start up conversations in these contexts is what we call pluralistic ignorance.
Uh-huh.
People infer from others' behavior what their attitudes are. And so when people around them are not talking, they infer that they don't want to talk.
Right.
Actually, if you survey everyone, everyone says that they'd be relatively interested in starting up a conversation, but everyone thinks that everyone else is less interested. We randomly assigned people into one of three experimental conditions. We had them either connect, we had them sit in solitude, or we had them do what they would normally do. And the people that do what they normally do, like 90% of them are sitting in solitude. And then afterwards, we asked them about their mood and about pleasantness and about productivity. Turns out that, yes, the conversations made people have a better mood afterwards. So they said they felt more happy, less sad. It was a more pleasant experience, so they actually enjoyed the commuting experience more. There was no differences in productivity between the conditions. We've also asked about if people felt more tired afterwards, like maybe it would zap your energy or something. In fact, if anything, there's a small effect where people said they felt more energized after talking.
Uh-huh.
So if anything, it's energizing. There were multiple people that said they met someone that they think they will continue to see, like in a romantic way.
Like our friend Dylan, he actually, somebody invited him over to like help prospect on their land so it can initiate things.
You're right, it can initiate a long-term connection there.
To get some tips on how to make small talk or to try the small talk practice, go to our website, Greater Good in Action, that's ggia.berkeley.edu. And then call us at 510-519-4903 and let us know how it went. I'm Dacher Keltner. Thanks for joining me for The Science of Happiness. Our podcast is a co-production of UC Berkeley's Greater Good Science Center and PRI, with production assistance from Jenny Cataldo and Ben Manila of BMP Audio. Our producer is Jane Bach. Production assistant is Lee Mengistu. Executive producer is Jason Marsh. Special thanks to UC Berkeley's Graduate School of Journalism. Our original music is by David Michelle Ruddy. You can learn more about The Science of Happiness and find related articles, videos, quizzes, all kinds of stuff on our website, greatergood.berkeley.edu. And shoot us an email. Tell us what you think about what you heard. Send it to greater@berkeley.edu.